Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk to you about Tunisia. Now, Tunisia is a country that's located in North Africa, and unfortunately, similar to some of the other countries that I've talked about, they have a high reliance on the import of oil and wheat. And because we've seen massive increases in the price of both of those commodities, Tunisia is now at the point of potential financial ruin. The country has been struggling for a long period of time, and what's happened in Ukraine is really now bringing everything to a head and potentially putting them at the risk of collapse. So in this video, I'll give you a little bit of background on Tunisia. We'll talk about the problems that it's encountered historically. We'll look at the economy and the amount of imports that the country is dependent upon. We'll talk about tourism and what's been happening with that historically. We'll have a look at the balance of trade and what's been happening to the Turkish currency. And then we'll look at the outstanding debt and the proposed bailout that they're in discussions with the IMF about. And then finally, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months in Tunisia and what the implications of that are for the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip through it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and YouTube Super Thanks feature. Tunisia is located in North Africa and has an extensive coastline on the Mediterranean Sea. It has land borders with two African countries, Algeria to the west and Libya to the east. Tunisia is one of the Maghreb states in Africa, along with Algeria, Morocco and Libya. And of those four countries, it is the smallest. The country has a population of around 12 million. The official language is Arabic and 99% of the population are Muslim. Tunisia has a long-standing history and ruins have been found dating back to around 1000 BC. The country was colonised by France in 1881, but eventually declared its independence in 1956. In 2011, there was civil unrest and uprising, and it became the first country of the Arab Spring uprisings. In 2014, a democratic vote was held in Tunisia for the first time. Tunisia has a varied landscape. It has mild Mediterranean climate along its coastal areas. It has the Atlas Mountains in the northern parts of the country, which lead to the dry central plains where water is scarce. The central part of Tunisia is dry and arid and is the start of the Sahara Desert. Tunisia does have some natural resources. Oil was found in the 1960s in the deep south of the country, and it also has natural gas fields. However, that oil and natural gas is not sufficient to be able to supply all of the Tunisian needs, and it is a net importer of energy products. The other major natural resource that Tunisia has is phosphate, which is mined and used to produce fertilizer. And in the early 2000s, Tunisia was one of the top five producers of phosphate globally. However, problems with regards to internal fighting, the revolution, and strikes has meant that it has now fallen down to around the 10th largest exporter of phosphate in the world. Tunisia's biggest resources in terms of its GDP are its people and its agriculture. Tunisia's wage rates are low and therefore it has a low labour economy, and the main products that it produces are electronics, garments and textiles. About two-thirds of the country are used for agriculture and around one-third of the population works in this sector. The main agricultural products are olives, citrus fruits, grains, grapes, melons, figs and dates. Tourism was historically a big part of the Tunisian economy, and up until 2015 it represented around 20% of the country's GDP. However, following a terrorist incident in June 2015, when a gunman killed 38 tourists, including 30 British tourists, there has been a huge fall in the tourist industry in Tunisia. And this fall in tourism has been accentuated by the COVID-19 pandemic. Tunisia has a really high dependence on wheat. The two main food substances that the majority of the population rely upon are bread and couscous. And both of those items are made from flour derived from wheat. Now, Tunisia, like a lot of other countries around the world, provides subsidies to make sure that these items are priced at a level that people can afford. So as the price of wheat has gone up in the international markets, there's been more pressure put on the Tunisian government to either increase the amount of the subsidies or to pass the price rises through to consumers. Now, the problem that Tunisia has is that they have a lot of poor people in the country, and it's estimated that the majority of the population spend around 80% of all of their household budget on food items. So that's put a lot of pressure on the government to absorb all of the increases in the prices. But it's not just the price increases that's been causing a problem with regards to wheat. Tunisia buys 48% of all of its wheat directly from Ukraine, and a further 8% of all of its supplies come from Russia. So 56% of all of the wheat that Tunisia imports is coming directly from the two nations who are currently at war. So that's meant that the usual supply chains for Tunisia have been cut off completely. And they're now trying to buy wheat in the international markets and organise the logistics to have it delivered into the country. So the war in Ukraine is having a massive disproportionate impact on Tunisia because the basic food substance that the vast majority of the country rely upon is no longer available. They've just lost that supply overnight. Ukraine is not exporting any wheat at the moment, so 48% of all of Tunisia's imports have disappeared. So let's talk about the power supply situation in Tunisia. Tunisia's power sector is well developed and nearly the entire population enjoys access to the national electricity grid. The state power utility company STEG controls 92% of the country's installed power capacity. STEG has been experiencing problems being able to produce sufficient electricity to meet demand, particularly in the peak summer period when a lot of the population run air conditioning units. Tunisia's demand for electricity is currently increasing by around 5% per year, and the demand is forecast to double over the next 15 years, which means that Tunisia needs to install around double the amount of capacity that it currently has. 97% of Tunisia's electricity is generated using fossil fuels, mainly natural gas. In 2020, around 57% of all of that natural gas needed to produce electricity was imported from Algeria. Tunisia does have some natural gas fields, but not enough to be able to meet its demand, and some of its natural gas is also exported to Sicily. So the current status of the electricity supply in Tunisia highlights why the country is under stress at the moment, because it needs to buy in natural gas to create electricity, which is used by its industry and its people. One of the major problems that Tunisia faces is that it is a net importer of products. And as a result of this, it has a negative balance of trade. This chart shows the balance of trade over the last 5 years, and as you can see, it has been negative in every single year. And this table gives a breakdown of the imports by category. And you can see that Tunisia imports over $3.6 billion worth of oil and related products every year. The next largest item is electrical and electronic equipment. However, the $3 billion of imports relates directly to the $4 billion of exports that the country is making as they assemble these components and complete the production of these items. The next largest category of imports is food substances. Cereals, which relate predominantly to wheat and barley, equate to around $800 million of imports per year. Tunisia is importing over $310 million worth of seeds, $195 million worth of oils, $175 million of sugar, $108 million of fish and seafood, $78 million worth of coffee, tea and spices, and $65 million worth of dairy products, egg and honey. So Tunisia is dependent upon the import of food products to feed its population and also natural gas in order to create electricity. And the problem with that dynamic is that they need large amounts of foreign currency. All of those markets are settled in euros or dollars, and Tunisia does not have sufficient exports to be able to generate sufficient currency. This chart shows the value of the exports, and as you can see, despite the fact that Tunisia does have oil fields, it is only exporting around $825 million worth per year. So without a surplus of foreign currency, Tunisia has to go and buy currency in the international markets. This chart shows the movement in the Tunisian dinar, and you can see that there's been a deterioration of over 10% in the value over the last 12 months or so. So this deterioration in the currency value means that there's a double whammy for Tunisia. So the price of oil and wheat and all of the products that they're buying in the international markets has gone up because of what's happening in Ukraine. So we've seen a 30 to 50% increase in all of those costs. And at the same time, the value of the currency in Tunisia has fallen by more than 10%. So when you combine those two factors, it means that all of those imports are significantly more expensive. And that's come at a time when Tunisia has really high rates of unemployment. And the problem that we have here is that the basic items are needed by everybody. Everybody needs to buy food and everybody needs electricity to be able to exist. So the increase in prices of these basic essential items has a disproportionate impact on the poor people of these countries. Tunisia has a large external debt burden relative to the size of the country. And this chart shows the increase in external debt over the last 10 years. And you can see that there's been a steady increase over that period. And the total amount of debt is now standing at around $40 billion. And this chart shows the level of debt as a ratio of GDP. And you can see that the amount of debt is up around 100% right now. Now, because Tunisia has a negative balance of trade, so it's importing more than it's exporting, it just doesn't have the cash to be able to keep buying all the essential items. So it needs an immediate bailout. And it's been in discussion with the IMF with regards to a potential injection of $7 billion. However, the IMF is not just purely a charity. It will only invest money if it believes that a country has a stable footing and the ability to be able to work its way out of its own problems. And in a recent report, the IMF stated that it considers that a conscientious reduction of the fiscal deficit through equitable taxation reform, strict control over the public sector wage bill, better targeted subsidies and deep reforms of state-owned enterprises are necessary to restore macroeconomic stability as well as for improving the efficiency of state-owned enterprises and strengthening the competitiveness of the Tunisian economy. Initiatives aimed at enhancing competition and the business climate are also critical to unlock the country's potential growth and job creation. So far, the IMF have provided $4.5 billion worth of funding, and they've stated that they've supported Tunisia when it was coping with the COVID-19 pandemic in a particularly difficult global environment, and that they continue to stand by the side of Tunisian authorities in their efforts to advance economic and social reforms to the benefit of the population. So the IMF is clearly willing to help, but they want Tunisia to prove that they're back on a solid economic footing before they will advance any further money. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, unfortunately, what we're seeing here is yet another situation where a country that was already in financial difficulty has been tipped over the edge by what's going on in Ukraine. Tunisia is a net importer and is dependent upon the import of food goods and also natural gas and oil. And the problem that Tunisia has is that it's not generating enough capital and it doesn't have enough foreign currency to be able to keep making those purchases. So this is a story that we've heard before. This is very similar to what's happening in Sri Lanka right now, also what's happening in Egypt, and a lot of similarities to what's going on in Turkey. So we're seeing this popping up all around the emerging and developing world. And it's likely that over the next 6 months or so, we will see this story repeating itself. Because any country that is currently still struggling from the COVID-19 pandemic and doesn't have large reserves of foreign currency or other natural resources is likely to end up in exactly the same position. They'll run out of money. They won't be able to buy in the food that they need. They won't be able to buy in the energy products that they need. And therefore, they will need a bailout. And the IMF is now becoming a bit more selective. So in the report that I just referenced, the IMF is now demanding that Tunisia introduces various tax changes and changes the way that they're operating to prove that they can become self-sufficient. Because this is the third time that Tunisia have asked for a bailout over the last few years. And the IMF won't keep giving countries money without seeing some form of reform being introduced in the country itself. Now, clearly, there's a balancing act to be struck at some point, because if the IMF doesn't give the money to Tunisia, then it could become a humanitarian disaster. We could get to the point where there is no food in the country, and therefore something will need to be done on an emergency basis. But at the moment, the IMF's playing hardball to a certain extent, and it's likely that we'll see that sort of thing occurring in other countries around the world. And one of the biggest problems for Tunisia right now is that they've been buying around 50% of all of their wheat directly from Ukraine. And Ukraine has now put an export ban on all of those products. So Tunisia has seen its supplies dry up overnight. So even if they had enough money to be able to buy that wheat, it wouldn't be available because the supply chain has been cut. So the Tunisian authorities are now trying to source wheat from other suppliers. And the problem that we've got is that the world supply chain is quite finely balanced. We don't have huge surpluses of wheat sitting around waiting to be delivered to countries that need it. So if Tunisia do manage to find wheat from somewhere, it means that somebody else is not receiving that wheat. So the knock-on impact of what's happening right now in Ukraine will be felt by a number of different countries. It won't be contained just to Tunisia. So once again, this highlights that what's happening right now in Eastern Europe isn't contained to that particular area geographically. We are seeing a country in Northern Africa starting to struggle to be able to feed its people because Ukraine can no longer send it the wheat that it used to buy from it. So in terms of what's likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months in Tunisia, well, the outlook is fairly grim. The country was already struggling, but the massive increase that we've seen in food and oil prices really means that they are now at the point where they've got no more cash and they need an emergency injection of capital. So we're looking at a very bleak outlook for Tunisia right now. In terms of what's the impact on the global economy of this, well, it's another situation whereby somebody is going to have to foot the bill to pay for any aid that's given to Tunisia now. And ultimately, all of the developed nations around the world will have to fund that bill. So this is going to have a negative impact on the global economy. Before listening to this, you may not even have known where Tunisia is, but ultimately what's happening in Tunisia right now will have a direct impact on everybody. And of course, the continued high prices for oil and food substances and other commodities that are being driven directly by what's going on in Ukraine will also have a really negative impact on the global economy. Because it's making the price of everything higher, it's going to drive up inflation further, which means that we're likely to see interest rates increased more aggressively than we originally expected. And that's going to impact everybody who has debt, will have less disposable income. Therefore, economies will contract as people spend less. And so we're heading towards a potential global recession. So as I've said before, there isn't really any good news coming out of Ukraine right now, but I wanted to share the impact of what's happening in a North African country and how that has a ripple effect on the whole global economy. So hopefully you found this useful, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick one on Joe Blogs 2. Things are going really well. We're now up to 3,800 hours of watch time. So we've only got 200 hours to go. We are very, very close to hitting that magical 4,000 hour mark and being able to start this experiment for real. So if you've got time, please jump over to Joe Blogs 2, watch one or two of the videos or click on the playlist, and that'll get us to that 4,000 hour mark. And then I can start telling you some more exciting stuff about the videos that we're going to start posting. So thanks again for watching this part of the video, and thanks for watching this whole video all the way to the end.